This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, September 9, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. The Kent County Sheriff's Office and the Grand Rapids Police Department have launched Flock camera transparency portals. WGVU's David Limbaugh explains how these tools are used.
The Kent County Sheriff's Office began using Flock cameras in 2022 and now manages 62 cameras throughout the county. The office said the new online transparency portal will, quote, provide clear, accessible information about its automated license plate recognition program, end quote. Under Sheriff Brian Meir stated, quote, I have seen firsthand how Flock has helped our investigators solve serious crimes and bring answers to victims and families in Kent County. The public deserves to know how this technology is used, what limits are in place, and how we hold ourselves accountable, end quote. Additionally, the Grand Rapids Police Department launched its own transparency portal after the city recently stated it would increase oversight over the cameras. At Tuesday's City Commission meeting, many residents thanked the council for taking steps to be more transparent, while others, like Grand Rapids resident John Malloy, think more should be done.
The people being watched deserve as much influence as the people selling the cameras. I appreciate the public pressure moved Grand Rapids to place this technology under its surveillance policy, but it cannot be the end. Please freeze expansion and outside sharing. Publicly examine the human consequences and choose not to renew the Flock contract.
The city's Flock contract will expire in June. I'm David Limbaugh.
Leaders and students from Grand Rapids Public Museum School presented to the State Board of Education on Wednesday, sharing their progress in reinventing high school learning. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
My big thing is that every project that is done, it relates to each student in its own way, in a sense.
Caden Mead is a graduate of the Grand Rapids Public Museum School, which uses progressive teaching techniques and real-life experiences to nurture innovative education. Founder Dr. Chris Hanks presented the school's immersive concept to the Michigan Department of Education Board.
We connect scholars to museum artifacts, experiences, and exhibits every day. Grand Rapids Public Museum holds more than 250,000 artifacts that our scholars can handle, explore, learn to care for, learn to tell stories with.
The presentation highlighted outcomes of XQ Institute's Futurist High School report, noting Michigan as a leader addressing 6 of 10 recommended policy areas. Museum School sophomore Lady Friend shared how community-based learning works in practice.
We had a session where we just went and walked downtown for like 2 hours and just explored African-American history in Grand Rapids. We talked about redlining, the KKK walk down Bridge Street that happened.
Museum School leaders noted their graduation rate has grown from 89% in its first year to over 95% today. I'm Dee Morrison.
The Michigan Department of State is celebrating Voter Pre-Registration Week. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
The Deputy Secretary of State and the Michigan Department of State are celebrating Voter Pre-Registration Week this week by encouraging eligible 16 and 17-year-olds to pre-register to vote. Governor Gretchen Whitmer made the designation. Deputy Secretary of State Akogo Adebbi says, quote, pre-registration helps our youngest voters take the first step in what we hope will be a lifelong journey of civic engagement, end quote. Legislation passed and signed into law in 2023 allows eligible 16 and 17-year-old Michigan residents to pre-register to vote. Teens who complete a qualifying transaction at a branch office, like getting a driver's license or state ID, are automatically pre-registered to vote at the time of the transaction. Once a pre-registered voter turns 18, their voter registration will automatically become active without requiring them to register again. You can learn more about pre-registration at mi.gov/pre-registration. I'm Jennifer Moss.
A community leader who led the effort to build the Acrisure Amphitheater in Grand Rapids says when music from a concert leaks into her downtown condominium, she doesn't hear noise. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports she hears excitement and people spending time in the city.
I believe the amphitheater is already contributing to a stronger downtown.
Kara Wood is the executive director of Grand Action 2.0, the nonprofit economic development organization that assembled the public-private partnership behind the Acrisure Amphitheater in Grand Rapids.
The goal was to create a long-term economic and community asset that would attract visitors and contribute to the continued growth of downtown Grand Rapids.
And during comments to the City Commission, she says sound from amphitheater concerts is audible inside her Plaza Towers downtown condominium.
Rather than seeing the sound as noise, the music, the crowds, the excitement, I see it as evidence that the vision for downtown is working.
These concerts are loud.
On behalf of clients who also live in the Plaza Towers, attorney Ron Vanderveen won a court order requiring the amphitheater to obey the city's noise ordinance.
The city argued that there are no limits on the amphitheater. The judge disagreed. Question is, when will the city enforce its ordinance?
The ordinance allows city manager Mark Washington to recommend a noise exception for the amphitheater. So far, he has not, but says...
The amphitheater has proven to be a great activation in this community.
I'm Phil Dawson.
A startup specializing in lowering healthcare costs for employees is moving its headquarters to downtown Grand Rapids. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Root Functional Medicine was founded in 2022 by Grand Rapids-based family physician Dr. Erica Armstrong. Root partners with self-funded employers across the country, reducing costs and improving employee health by complementing primary care.
We use a functional medicine core model to do this. It really means figuring out the why behind why someone isn't feeling well or behind having chronic conditions to both prevent illness and to reverse it at the root cause.
Dr. Armstrong says Root uses advanced lab testing, board-certified physicians and dietitians, and the world's first functional medicine operating system, Root OS, to help patients.
So for the individual, it is restored health, and for the employer, that means cost savings because they're no longer having to manage at the same or escalating costs year over year with the same types of treatments without a root cause layer added into their benefits plan.
Root is now leasing nearly 4,000 square feet for 16 employees on the second floor of 120 Ionia Avenue Southwest in downtown Grand Rapids.
West Michigan has so many self-funded employers who are ready and willing to jump in and be early adopters of a new innovative benefit.
Dr. Armstrong says that support has helped Root obtain the data needed to expand nationally. I'm David Limbaugh.
The Rockford Public School Board on Tuesday censured one of its trustees over an email sent to a district employee that leaders say included offensive, unwelcome, and race-based language. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
The Rockford Public Schools Board of Education held a special meeting Tuesday morning with one item on the agenda listed as trustee complaint. A resolution read at the meeting stated that last month, the board was informed a district employee received an email from trustee Dr. Barbara Helms, questioning whether that employee had an association with the Muslim Brotherhood. Helms admitted sending the email, which read, "Do you have any association with the Muslim Brotherhood Association? Asking for a friend." The board found the email included offensive, unwelcome, and race-based language in violation of the district's harassment policies. The resolution stated the comments were discriminatory, improper, and do not reflect the views of the full board, which censured Helms. The district's website shows Helms was elected in 2023 to a term that expires this year. Rockford's next scheduled board meeting is September 14th. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, another edition of the Your Dream is Our Dream podcast, but first, news from around the state. It might take more time before Michigan's governor chooses whether to opt in to a federal education tax program. Colin Jackson has more.
The federal scholarship tax credit offers tax breaks for donations to organizations that grant scholarships to low-income students. Those could pay for things like tutoring or private school education. Michigan is one of 15 states that still hasn't decided whether to join the program, despite calls from Republicans. Governor Gretchen Whitmer says she's still waiting on details from the federal government about how the program would work.
The fact of the matter is the U.S. Treasury has not even released any of the guidelines, so it's premature for anyone to make any projections, including me. We got to get the information.
Public school advocates have criticized the tax credits as a roundabout way of putting public resources toward private education. I'm Colin Jackson in Kalamazoo.
A Western Michigan University professor who authored a book about Lake Ontario has been getting calls over the last few weeks after President Trump released an executive order renaming Lake Ontario to Lake America. Daniel McFarlane is in the Department of Environment, Geology, and Sustainability. He published his book, The Lives of Lake Ontario and Environmental History, in 2024. During his various media appearances, he's spoken about how Lake Ontario is often seen as more culturally Canadian.
As I argue in the book, I mean, aside of the fact that Michiganders don't touch Lake Ontario, hardly any Americans do. It's upstate New York. It's fairly sparsely populated. The Ontario side is the most densely populated part of all of Canada. A quarter of Canadians live there.
McFarlane and other experts say the United States doesn't have legal right to rename the lake because it is jointly controlled by Canada and is also named Lake Ontario in several international documents and treaties. Focus West Michigan is made for all, powered by you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit wgvunews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Today on Your Dream is Our Dream, from Kent ISD, from high school to hanging lights high above the Amway Soccer Stadium, Omar is making his dream to be an electrician come true with CTE training.
Welcome to the Your Dream is Our Dream podcast, where we celebrate student success one dream at a time. I'm Joy Walczak, and today I'm joined by Omar Rodriguez, who is a recent graduate from Godfrey Lee High and is also an electrical apprentice at C.S. Erickson. I'm also here with Heather Lay, who is the human resource manager at C.S. Erickson. And this is a program that started with Omar's interest in construction and electrical engineering, and that all started with West Michigan Construction Institute. So Omar, why don't you share with us how you ended up going from Lee High School to a part-time program at West Michigan Construction Institute?
It all started in my sophomore year. One of the instructors there, he came into my school and did like a whole assembly with a presentation and kind of like gave a rundown of what the program is about. It really piqued my interest along with like other programs, but WMCI was definitely like the one I was going for.
I know you had a specific interest in electrical, but you also learned about other aspects of construction, right?
Yeah, so in the beginning, most of it was kind of like general construction knowledge. They wanted us understanding blueprints, just understanding how to communicate on a construction site. You got to be loud, and you know, sometimes you have to even use hand signals because things are so loud there. They taught us CPR. They gave us OSHA training.
A lot of hands-on training. Mm-hmm. And specifically, you went for the electric pathway. Is that right?
Yeah. I got to do a lot of running conduit. Mm-hmm. So I did some bending and just hanging it on the ceiling or along the walls, kind of just showing your skill. And we could do different things. You could do three-way switches, four-way switches. You could learn how to, you know, wire multiple outlets in a chain, just like things like that that we got to do.
Those skills are very practical in the world of construction, mm-hmm. and electric in particular. And you had an opportunity to do an internship. Heather, I'd love to talk to you about the internship program you provide for students like Omar here at C.S. Erickson. What's it all about?
We are very excited about our partnership with WMCI and the internships that they offer, because they have students that are there specifically, like Omar was, to learn, and they're ready to be exposed in the workplace to the different aspects, how to put into place the things that they've been exposed to in the classroom. Partnering with them, we were able to work around Omar's school schedule, and then some days he would come here and work instead of going into a classroom and get exposed to that. One of the things that was excellent about it for us was when Omar's schooling was done. He graduated from Godfrey Lee. He graduated from WMCI. He came on board with us as an electrical apprentice. So he's already knew the company. He'd already been exposed to so much of what we do, already had a really great base of knowledge, and then could come on board with us as an electrical apprentice.
And how's it working out now?
Oh, it's excellent. Omar's great. He's doing a great job. Heard nothing but great things. So electrical apprenticeships, you have a certain number of hours that you need to work over the course of 4 years, 8,000 hours you need to accumulate. And Omar has completed his first 1,000 hours as of, I think, this coming Saturday. Yeah. He'll be at his first 1,000 hours. So over the course of the next 3.5 years, he'll complete the remainder of his apprenticeship.
So 7,000 hours to go, but it sounds like you're really enjoying what you're doing.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I've got to do a lot of like really cool things that even some of the people that have been on here for maybe 3 or 4 years haven't got to do yet.
Tell us about some of those things. You have a really interesting site that you're working on right now.
Yeah, I'm working at the Amway Stadium. Currently, I've been doing underground work, which as an apprentice is necessary. It's digging trenches, doing all the backbreaking work that a lot of the older guys have already done in their past. So it's just kind of like paying your dues. You know, everyone has to do it. But before that, I did get to hang all of the lights that are on the top of the stadium, all of the stadium spotlights that will light up the whole field.
That's incredible.
Yeah, me and one other guy, he was a third-year apprentice, so he's older than me, and he was kind of guiding me along the way there. But he did kind of let me take control in some aspects and get a lot of experience with doing my own thing. And it kind of helped me be able to lean on myself more. And then I got to wire them up and pull the wires for them. So it's pretty cool.
Did you ever think a year ago that you would be working on a project like this one, and then people will walk into that stadium and see all of those lights come on, and you did that? How does that feel?
Yeah, it's the one thing that I'm excited for, because I haven't really got to feel that feeling yet. The first ever job I was at was like a warehouse for some brewing company, so it was like not really high profile as a stadium. That, you know, every time there's an event there, 8,000 people are going to be, you know, walking through. So, yeah, it's a pretty unknown feeling, but I'm excited to finally, like, get done with it and be like, wow, like, I actually got to do some of that.
This program is very beneficial, clearly, to you and your pathway. Heather, tell us how important it is for a company like C.S. Erickson to really bring that next generation forward into your fold.
I'm so glad you asked that. That's one of the things that excites me the most in my role and in the work that we do. There are not a lot of industries left where you get exposed, you learn on the job. And every apprentice that we hire, we are creating the next generation of electricians. So we're creating the future of the electrical trade right here. And that's really rewarding. I love that we work in an industry where Omar's going to get to go to a game, and he's going to get to sit down, and he's going to get to point up at that and be like, I built that. That is so cool. So cool.
I'm so glad to hear that that dream is coming true, especially for you, Omar. As you were thinking about this program in high school, what are you dreaming about becoming, like, for your future? Did you have this dream even as a child?
I didn't really get interested into the electrical field until about freshman, sophomore year of high school. My dad was in the trades. He was a mechanic for a long time, and he was also a welder, and he does sheet metal. And his company is actually working with us at our job site too. So I remember, like, looking online and social media and seeing a lot of, like, videos about electricians, and seeing, like, there's a lot of incorporation with math and numbers. And I like to use my brain a little bit. So now my current dream is, like, hopefully one day, like, achieving, like, becoming a master electrician, mm-hmm. which is, like, after your 4 years, you got to do another 2 years mm-hmm. before you can even take that test. And it's on par with, like, the bar exam. So it's a really hard test, but it will give me stepping stones towards my next goal, which is, like, starting a company or doing my own work. Being able to support myself and relying solely on myself is, like, something that I'd like to do, you know, being able to build my own future.
And with the skills that you are learning here, even what you learned in high school that helped prepare you for what you're learning here mm-hmm. and learned at West Michigan Construction Institute, you can actually take those skills anywhere and build your dream wherever you want mm-hmm. that to be, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
So congratulations for all that you've achieved so far.
Thank you. Thank you.
Omar, what kind of advice might you have for students who are just learning about these opportunities and that they even exist?
I'd say definitely give it a shot. Yeah. I definitely would recommend to those people and just to anyone in general, like, definitely just give it a try. I mean, you can always back out. You know, it's never too late.
I'm guessing you're pretty proud of what you've achieved so far. Can you tell me about that?
I mean, I don't like to, you know, toot my own horn, but I just feel like what I've done is, like, really cool. I mean, it's hard to put it into words, I guess. I'm still, like, in the middle of it, you know? I'm working towards where I want to be. Seeing how far I've come has been a really great, like, reminder that, like, to keep going. It's a pretty good feeling, and I'm excited to see, like, how much further I can take it.
We're excited to see that too. And Heather, I can let you toot his horn a little bit. How proud are you of the successes that Omar has already achieved?
Omar is a great example. He is actually the first intern that we had from WMCI. So seeing him translate that internship into a successful apprenticeship is fantastic. Yeah, we're very proud of Omar.
Well, congratulations on all you've done so far. We're all excited to see that stadium light up and know that you were part of making that happen. And thanks to you also, Heather, for the opportunities you're providing for students in our community.
It's truly our pleasure.
And thank you, Omar, for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thanks to everyone who's listening today, too. If you know a student who dreams big, we would love to share their story. Submit your ideas and hear more episodes at kentisd.org/yourdream. I'm Joy Walczak. The Your Dream is Our Dream podcast is presented by Kent ISD in partnership with WGVU.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, September 9, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.